Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
$2,000 would have been sweeter for the individual. I think the Prez was right. Mitch McConnell held that up, and boy, did he take a licking at the hands of the president on Twitter. Kate Delaney, Happy New Year. We are almost through 2020 and into 2021. So money, money, money in the rich man's world, and the class warfare that continues in the country. You will, if you qualify, get $600 an individual in a stimulus check. You could be getting that already if you have linked your bank account to the IRS. If you go to irs.gov, you'll see it, and it shows you how you can claim the stimulus money. If you've got it the first time around, you should be hooked up, and it will drop in your bank account. And then it depends on your income. We know how this all rolls out. The $2,000 cash supplement is unlikely to pass the Republican Senate, given the way the caucus is talking. It doesn't seem likely. But those who are eligible for the $600 will get that. I think what infuriates some people, even the most conservative among us, even though they, you know, you look at it, you understand when you think of what's happening, meaning what's happening with deficit, etc., and the holes that we're getting into as a country. When you see what people who have money, money, money are getting through PPE, the loans, the everything else, yeah, that's when it goes down really like hemlock. And that's the problem. Because has anyone read the 5,500 plus page stimulus bill and what's stuffed inside? You know, it reminds me of the pizza, the Inside Out pizza, where there, if you're lucky, the good stuff is inside. But if you're not so lucky, it's not good. And I think this is what's going down so tough for so many. But would you rather have something or have everything shut down and throw it into more chaos? And if you have no choice but to take the long odds at the craps table, I guess that's what you're stuck with, because if this is the way the representatives vote, that's the way it goes. And I don't see that changing. Sad news right from the get-go. This was announced tonight, or this was announced on Tuesday night anyway. Representative-elect Luke Letlow, Republican from Louisiana, died from the coronavirus. And so sad. 41 years old. He wanted this so badly. Won in a runoff. Was excited to represent the great state of Louisiana. He tested positive on the 18th. He was in the intensive care unit at a health center in Shreveport. And people were pulling, of course, for Letlow. He served as chief of staff to a former Republican representative from Louisiana, Ralph Abraham, before being elected to fill that seat. He was supposed to be sworn into Congress on Sunday. And he is, by the way, the first member or member-elect to die from coronavirus, although dozens have tested positive for COVID-19 over the past year. He tragically is the one who dies, and he's got he leaves behind a wife and two very small children. 41 is so young, and he just deteriorated. He was transferred and placed into the ICU last week, and then it fell apart. And House Minority leader Kevin McCarthy said that our hearts break tonight as we process this news, and that's what it is. It's processing the news. Steve Scalise, the House Minority Whip from Louisiana, issued a statement and said, you know, he had such a positive spirit and a tremendous bright future ahead of him, which absolutely, he was looking forward to serving the people of Louisiana in Congress. We were excited to welcome him to our delegation. He was ready to make an even greater impact on our state and on our nation. And more than anything else, he was a loving husband, father, brother, son, and his family, like so many others who have been affected by this evil disease. I agree with that. Evil disease needs our prayers. And that is, wow, that is rough. I knew people who knew him and really say exactly what was echoed there, that he was so excited to jump into this, and he was beyond thrilled that this was what he was going to do. And unfortunately, like some of these heartbreaking stories that we keep hearing about, he is one of those heartbreaking stories. And he was that representative that was for the people, picked by the people, that whole kind of thing, right? So when we look at COVID cases, and I go by John Hopkins because, you know, the numbers can be lower or can be wrong or can be wrong in districts, how they're reported, but 336,000 people have died. Cases in the United States, 19.4 million across the world. 1.79 million, 81.9 million cases. The number recovered, and that's the number, of course, you want to see, is 46.3 million, 46.3 million. So, you know, what is being pumped out there is protect yourself, stay home if you can, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, avoid crowds, wash your hands. I mean, these are all the same things that we know that we've talked about. It's just that the numbers are on the rise. It is that dark tunnel that we're going through right now. When you look at cases in Texas, 1.71 million, Florida, 1.28 million, Illinois, 950,000, New York, 939,000, and the list goes on. And of course, the worst of the worst is California, especially in Los Angeles, the amount of cases, well over 500,000 plus, and it hasn't been good. The news in California is so bad that people are they're taking people in a chapel or a gift shop if they can in one hospital just so that they can get treatment. And when you hear that there's no ICU beds, that's what's so scary. I mean, so look what they did with the representative. The idea is if we have a shot, we're going to take it, right? And nobody wants to go on that ventilator, but many people have come off the ventilator. And if that's the last shot, and if that's the hope, and you have to be in the ICU, you want the opportunity to be there. But if there is nothing left and you're fighting for air, it doesn't matter who you are. If there is absolutely no place to take you, and the scramble is on to do, in some of these cases, in these hospitals, whatever can be done to, of course, to save the lives of the people who are struggling. Coming up, we're going to take you back to something much lighter. I am a huge fan of Santa. We wanted to talk to Margaret before the holiday. We get to talk to her while we still are in 2020. How does Santa fly anyway? Oh, we need some lightness. It's coming up next.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. The way we work has changed immensely this year, and technology has played a critical role in helping companies and employees adapt. Heading into a new year, the workplace will continue to evolve, making technology-driven training solutions vital to preparing our workforce for the future. Here's John Jordan, head of the Academy at Bank of America. He leads the team that onboards and trains thousands of client-facing associates each year.
At Bank of America, exceptional client care is at the core of everything we do. This starts with equipping our employees with the right skills and providing training and growth opportunities that foster upward mobility and readiness for the future. With the help of tech-driven learning tools like virtual reality and client engagement simulators, we immerse our teammates in real-life scenarios and offer a more productive learning experience, ultimately empowering them to better serve our clients.
For more about Bank of America's resources, visit about.bankofamerica.com.
Hey, my, oh me, my. Kindly will you reply? Is that you, Santa Claus?
This time around on Author's Corner, we're going to Australia, and I think all of you who have listened to the show know I have such a fascination with Santa. It's a great tie to my father, who sadly died when I was just barely 8 years old, but Santa played a big role in my life. And ironically, and I think I was supposed to talk to Margaret Harcourt West because she's written a book about Santa and flying. I was always curious as to why, you know, how did he fly? And my aunt and my father would tell me, can't you hear him in the air over the roof? And it just always fascinated me, and Santa's always been my favorite. So Margaret's book is called Flying Santa, How Santa Flies in the Sky. And I think you can never get enough Santa, whether it's leading up to Christmas, just after Christmas, or any time of the year. We celebrate Christmas half the time in July as well. So Margaret, thanks for coming on. I love, love, love the title of your book and the whole premise of it. How did you come up with this?
I came up with it because I told a story to my granddaughters who were a bit like you. They were very interested in Santa. And they said to me, but how does he fly in the sky? And then I told them the story of how it was such a lot of hard work to get Santa flying in the sky. The elves tried, and the gnomes tried, and the fairies tried, and there was no luck. And then, I won't tell you the end of the story, how it actually happens, but there was a beautiful witch called Winifred the Wonder Witch, who was very kind and helpful and lovely. And she helped Santa to fly in the sky. And this is how he flies in the sky to this day.
Ooh, that is a cliffhanger. You are very skilled storytellers. So I think we're very curious about that cliffhanger. There was no Elon Musk to help with the electric frying car. So we can only imagine how Santa flies. And I just love the whole premise of the story. Is it, do you hope kids are curious and you know they're curious like I am and I was and your granddaughters are? What's the big takeaway from flying, you know, Santa, how Santa flies in the sky? What do you hope children and adults take away from reading your book?
I think that if you try and try, you'll get there. Try and try again, and you will succeed, I think is the message from it, really. And be kind to each other and help each other and cooperate, and you'll get there, and Santa will fly in the sky.
Wow, and that is a perfect message. Be kind and try, and you'll get there. And people could certainly use that message, whether we're talking about little people or older people. Now, you have to tell us, because you have another book about Winifred. It continues the story of Winifred, Winifred the Wonder Witch. Margaret, tell us about Winifred and some of her characteristics.
Winifred is a beautiful witch. She is. She has green hair, but sort of quite a normal face, you know. But she does have the green hair, and she lives in a cloud in the sky, on the fluffiest green cloud in the sky. And she's always helping people. She's so kind and helpful, and she helps kangaroos find their own ground when the council wanted to take it away for a golf course. And she helps the lions to find a home. And generally she is a very helpful and loving witch. But in the first story, it's called The Witch Who Lost Her Magic, she has lost her magic and she is devastated. So she has to get it back. She goes for a walk with Leo the Lion to see Gerald the Giant, who lives in a big castle, and she knows that he has stolen her magic. But to get it back, he makes her work for the magic, and she has to guess which box, out of hundreds and hundreds of boxes, which box it is in. And eventually, she does guess where the box is, where the magic is, and she is delighted when she has it all back.
Wow, I bet.
And, yeah. And the second story is called Saving the Dragons. And there are two princesses who've got pet dragons, and they just adore their pet dragons. They play with them every day. And they live in the castle with their parents, the king and queen. And one day they hear about these nasty black witches and hear that black witches come and steal dragons. They're frightened that their dragons are going to be stolen by the black witches. And then Winifred hears about all this. And it's Winifred in the end who saves the dragons from a terrible fate with the black witches. And, of course, the princesses are delighted, and they have a big party to celebrate, and the giant's dragons and the princess's dragons all join in a big party because the dragons have been saved.
Yeah, just even the, you know, so many of us were intrigued by dragons and watching Game of Thrones, and dragons as kids are so big, I think, how you think of dragons and the symbolism, and you just painted a great picture, a mind picture for all of us. So Winifred's stories are interesting, and of course, Santa as well. For you, how gratifying is it to have written these books, these children's books?
Very gratifying, because it's great to see how the children enjoy them. And their eyes light up and they ask questions. And I think that they've learned something by the end, you know, in, especially in Winifred, because she's so kind and helpful, and because, and especially in Flying Santa, because everybody joins together to make it happen, to make Santa fly in the sky. It takes a cooperative effort. And
right, so you couldn't do it if you weren't a team. Yeah, you couldn't do it if you weren't a team, which is such a brilliant way to put that. And I can just only imagine that when children are read these stories, their reaction to it. So it's perfect. You can go on to Amazon and get Margaret Harcourt West's books. We just talked about Winifred, and we just talked about Flying Santa, of course, how Santa flies in the sky, and she gave us that cliffhanger as to what possibly it could be, the exact solution and the teamwork, like I was mentioning, that it would have taken to do that. And so when you're not writing children's books, what are you doing? What else are you doing for fun? Probably writing other things, I would imagine.
Yes, I have written a screenplay, which I think, and some other people think, would make a great movie. It's called The 13th Dance, and it's about a murder that happens in Perth, in Western Australia, in the Government House ballroom in 1925. And it's a true story, but I have dramatized it. And the thing is, that this girl, she was only 20, she shot her lover while he was dancing with another girl in Government House ballroom. But the thing is, she got off scot-free, not guilty. Even though everyone in the ballroom saw her shoot him, she still was, well, not innocent, but she was not guilty of willful murder. So she sailed away to America. She married an American man and sailed away to America, and we've not heard of her since. So do you think it'd make a good movie?
I think it would make a great movie. I mean, my mind is racing thinking about that story. And as you said, the true element to it is fascinating, and again, the era too, because you're talking about the 20s, that's what you mentioned, and of course it happening in Western Australia, which also conjures up some images too. So I'm not surprised by this. It has been an absolute delight to talk to you, Margaret. We can't wait to see what happens with that and with all of your work. And we started with Flying Santa, so don't forget about that. And again, you can go to Amazon to get any of these great books. Thank you so much, Margaret, for stopping by.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely to talk to you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has introduced new legislation that would boost stimulus checks for Americans after blocking a vote earlier in the day on a similar measure. McConnell's bill would raise the amount of the COVID stimulus check to the $2,000 that President Trump has asked for, and also contains a provision to repeal Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, the provision that gives social media companies certain legal immunities. Senator Bernie Sanders says that the American people just want them to pass more financial support. The Vermont Independent tells News Nation now that any stimulus efforts should not contain poison pills.
I hope that doesn't happen. Look, the House passed the clean bill. That's what the American people want us to do, not to put in poison pills, not to muddy the water, but to just do what the American people want. There's a poll that came out, I think, the other day. 78% of the American people believe that we should pass legislation to provide working families with $2,000 per adult. Let's do it.
This is USA Radio News. President Trump's campaign has asked the Supreme Court to take up its lawsuit challenging the results of the presidential election in Wisconsin. The campaign suit, seeking to disqualify more than 200,000 votes from absentee ballots in two heavily Democratic counties, was rejected by the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. The campaign has asked the court to take up a similar suit over Pennsylvania's results, asking them to reverse three decisions against the campaign from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and let the state's assembly pick a slate of electors. And Republican Congressman-elect Luke Letlow has died from complications of COVID-19. Letlow was elected in November to represent Louisiana's 5th congressional district and was to be sworn in next week. He was hospitalized on December 19th after testing positive for the virus and later moved to an intensive care unit. Letlow is survived by his wife Julia and their two children. He was 41. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
He's the founder of 10X Catalyst Groups, and he serves as the chairman for the 10X CEO and 10X Pro Groups. And you're saying to yourself, what is that? It's really actually mind-blowing what he's done, and it's a principle that I love because I believe in the power of peer groups. But he's mixed it with something very, very powerful, and that's Christianity. And what he's created is really, really quite interesting. So I'm thrilled to have him on this show. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
So let's talk about what I said, you know, loosely, the groups that you've created and 10X, and what was it that led you down this path? Because you had, what, 3 decades plus of a career in mergers, acquisitions, business development, et cetera, and you were the founder of Crosspoint Capital, which was a middle market investment banking firm, and we talk a lot about business on this show. So explain, first of all, your background and how you catapulted this into 10X.
Sure. Thanks, Kate. So I'm still a business guy, and I still do mergers and acquisitions, investment banking work. That's my other half-time job, you know, the other 12 hours of the day. And so I'm a business guy, but I've been in peer groups for many, many years, mostly secular peer groups. and I found them to be really valuable, but lacking in an area that was really important to me, which was my faith and the opportunity to be able to discuss issues of business from a faith perspective. Because if you really think about it, there's nothing in life, whether it's relationships or the economy or business or finance or you name the topic, that doesn't somewhere have a spiritual root or a spiritual context. And so being in a peer group that is able to address that was something that I was really desirous of. And so a few years ago, I got involved in leading Christian peer groups for Christian CEOs and entrepreneurs. So these are business groups, but they're comprised of men and women of faith who want to use their business not just to make more money, although we certainly believe in building value and profit, but to use the business for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God.
Wow, and so powerful, because like you said, you actually merge the two. You know, again, as you made the joke about the 12 hours here and then more time here. And ultimately, we're talking about a business, and you see where we are right now with the economy. What, when you look in your crystal ball and you deal with all kinds of organizations, all kinds of groups, really on both sides, what do you see with the industry sectors, energy, technology? What do you see happening here as a result of this pandemic and how we come out of this?
Well, to say it, we're going to experience massive disruption, I mean, we have experienced massive disruption, and it's going to continue on. Some of that is going to actually be really positive. So there are many great things that are going to come out of what is, you know, fundamentally a disastrous situation in many perspectives. But, you know, the human spirit is resilient, and Americans are resilient. And there are things that my clients are experiencing as they navigate through this that they go, gosh, you know, that was really an inefficiency, or that was actually something that we wanted to get rid of, but we didn't know how to do it before this, and now we're able to sort of clean house. Obviously, there are many things about cleaning house that are quite painful and are difficult in many areas, but I believe that out of the disruption, we're going to see changes in the supply chain. We're going to see changes in manufacturing processes. We're going to see much less in the way of business travel and in face-to-face meetings, because we found in many cases that we really don't need to do that, and that there's efficiencies that can be gained. So there are a lot of really big challenges, but out of all kinds of challenges come great advancements. As one of my mentors used to say, Jim Rohn, he used to say, don't ask why things are so hard. Ask how you can get better.
Boy, I love Jim Rohn, and I agree with that so much, and exactly what you're saying here. I think we're going to see some interesting things come out of this time. People just have to get through it and hang through and forecast, I think, for the future and look at some of the things that you're talking about. So you started off, I mean, I'm sure in a couple of different ways, but one of the things that stood out to me in your bio, which was pretty impressive, I have to say, is that you're an ex-Army Ranger captain. So you understand organization. You understand pulling things together. Did you use a lot of what you learned in the military in your career?
It's amazing how Ranger School continues to play out. One of the things that is really fundamental to doing missions behind enemy lines is really extensive contingency planning. And so developing plans for when everything is going to go wrong, because it always does. You know, there's actually a famous philosopher named Murphy. You probably have run into him, and Murphy says, hey, things are going to go wrong. They're going to go wrong at the worst possible time in the worst possible way. And so you got to plan for Murphy. And so Private Murphy was a big part of our Ranger planning. And if you think about the business climate that's going on right now, part of the reason that it's painful for some people is because they really didn't plan for Murphy. And those that did actually are coming out pretty well out of this. So diversification is one of those areas. You know, I have a client who I've been working with for a couple of years trying to get him to diversify his client base, and he's heavily focused in hospitality and restaurants, and he called me in a panic after they were all shut down and said, I should have diversified, shouldn't I? Yep, you should have.
Right. So you did give him the great advice. He just didn't pay attention to that. Oh, no kidding, because
that's the only client. That's the only one that doesn't listen to me.
Oh.
All of the other ones are just that. They're so malleable.
Oh.
Yeah, they're CEOs, right? So.
Right. Oh, I love it. So let's talk about your book, The Avada Principle, and it's won all kinds of awards, and you've got a workbook that goes along with it. Tell us about that and what led you to writing the book.
Well, all of my clients and I wrestle with this idea of too much to do and not enough day. And so many conflicting demands on our lives. You know, we're to go out and be warriors in the marketplace. We're to be loving husbands and great fathers. And we're to be super fit and talented and involved in the community. All these things. Sometimes it gets quite kind of overwhelming. And the solution that has been promoted the most is this idea of living a balanced life. And I found that to actually be extremely flawed. I could never get in balance. And the more that I looked at it, the more I realized, you know, this is just an impossible kind of an approach. And so there's got to be something better than the idea of trying to achieve balance, because you can't achieve it. And as soon as you do achieve it, you're out of balance again. And so basically you've got the failure of chaos that moves to the failure of balance. And I said, well, what else might there be? And that concept is integration. And how do you live an integrated life? And interestingly, there's not much written on that. One of the things I found that those that wrote about it didn't actually make a good recommendation on what should be integrated. Like, if you were to have an integrated life, what would one integrate? And so I discovered an ancient word. It's one of the oldest words in American, not American, it's the oldest words in human language. It's called Avada, and it comes out of the ancient Hebrew. And one of the interesting things about the Hebrew language is that one word can mean multiple things simultaneously. And so one of the earliest words in Genesis is the word of Avad, where God tells Adam to go and work the garden. And so Avad is a word that shows up about 450 times throughout the Old Testament, and it actually means three things: work, worship, and service. And those three things are the things we're to integrate, and the process of doing that is what the Avada principle is about.
Wow, that's a big takeaway on that. And you know what? You made me think, oh, now I know where that word's come from. So, yes, of course. So, great. And you're right. There is nothing that I can think of off the top of my head, because I was thinking about that, that combines all of what you just talked about in one book. I can't think of a business book. I can't think of any kind of a Christian book that I've seen where it's combined that whatsoever. So, congratulations on that success. I'd be remiss not to ask you about your podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, this is so fun, and thank you for co-hosting with me on one recently where we interviewed the CEO of Buck Knives, BJ Buck. What an awesome guy, and it was so fun to do that with you. So with Forbes Books, with Forbes Books Radio, I've got a co-produced podcast where we're interviewing some of the top Christian CEOs in the country on issues of business and issues of faith and how they actually integrate their faith and their work. And it's just great fun. And you can find that on ForbesBooksRadio.com /10X. And there's some amazing interviews and many more coming.
All right, and it was really fun to talk to CJ Buck. Wow, what a history and what a family, for sure. So please go to that and check that podcast out. It was a thrill for me to be part of that too as well. And then 10xgroups.com, you can find out more about Michael's site there too as well. Michael, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Kate. Sure appreciate you.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America.
The way we work has changed immensely this year, and technology has played a critical role in helping companies and employees adapt. Heading into a new year, the workplace will continue to evolve, making technology-driven training solutions vital to preparing our workforce for the future. Here's John Jordan, head of the Academy at Bank of America. He leads the team that onboards and trains thousands of client-facing associates each year.
At Bank of America, exceptional client care is at the core of everything we do. This starts with equipping our employees with the right skills and providing training and growth opportunities that foster upward mobility and readiness for the future. With the help of tech-driven learning tools like virtual reality and client engagement simulators, we immerse our teammates in real-life scenarios and offer a more productive learning experience, ultimately empowering them to better serve our clients.
For more about Bank of America's resources, visit about.bankofamerica.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This year, certainly, we've talked about some great children's books, and I would put this in my top five. First of all, the cover. I love the cover. I love flowers. I love the way this book is written. And she's in our virtual green room, Carmen Clegg, and her book is called I Suppose the Rose Knew. And clever title for a very clever, clever book. Carmen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
What made you decide to write a children's book?
Well, in the beginning, I wrote this many, many, many years ago. I was a lot younger. It started out as a poem. And then, I had it sitting around in my house for years. And about 5 years ago, 2015, I decided, why not have it, as a children's book? It has a cute little lesson in it. And I just decided 5 years ago to make it into a children's book instead of just sitting in my drawer as a poem doing nothing.
Wow. So how do you take a poem and then flush it out to a full-blown story? I mean, were you sitting there thinking, hey, I could go in this direction, maybe this happens? I think it's really cool, and it had to be a fun process.
I was looking at, I read it out loud to myself, and I thought it was a decent lesson, as well as a cute, simple story for, you know, young readers, you know, through the life expectancy of a rogue. You know, I didn't want to be morbid, but I myself like flowers, and so I had an understanding of it. So I wanted something simple for children to understand. I just read it out loud and just, why not a children's book?
Right. Good for you. And it, there is lessons in it. So tell us what, first of all, tell us a little bit about the story. We don't want to be the spoilers, but as you said, it's about a rose, especially one rose. Tell us about the story.
Well, about a little girl, 7, 8-ish. She enjoys, you know, caring for her roses that's sitting in front of her parents' home. She loves cultivating the flower, you know, to its full potential. She's learning these things, but she's enjoying it as well. And then as you see one rose is dying, the lesson is, as with life, it's fragile and it's short-lived. But you can also, you know, still enjoy it while you are taking care of it. That's why
wow.
I said the life expectancy of a rose. You know, just something as simple as a rose.
Right, and you said it. You said you didn't want to be morbid, and so that's the good thing is that I think we don't talk about that enough, and kids don't understand. So you also address something, life, the fragility of life, that it's something amazing,
right.
But it's short.
Yes, yes, that's right. And kids, they don't understand. You know, I'm talking about something a little bit more serious or, you know, more important to a child than a rose, but I wanted to keep it simple, simple language for young readers, you know, that they can get that that lesson about how fragile life is, how short-lived things are, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you put the book together and then you have to, you know, think about the illustrations, who illustrated the book for you? They did a great job.
Well, yeah, working with the illustrators, we were going through that several
times.
It's
a hard process, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it could be a little long process because, you know, I wanted to get it right. And, you know, as far as a little girl, bed of roses, the color scheme and all that. And they were telling me things I didn't know because this is my first book. So I was learning things as well. So I guess we were helping each other through the process.
There you go. Well, it looks beautiful, so you really nailed it. There's no question about that. And the book is called I Suppose the Rose Knew, and it's really unique in the sense of what you address here. That's for sure. Carmen Clegg, thank you so much. You can get this on Amazon. Again, just a great message and a great book, and I'm so glad that you picked that poem out of the drawer and you made it something that much bigger. It shows you, though, that, right, you can do anything if you put your mind to it.
I agree, because I never would have thought that a poem that kind of sprung out of me one day, I wasn't even expecting to do that. That is,
yep.
This is where we are today with it. So I feel extremely blessed.
Yeah, and hopefully we're going to see more from you. Are you going to write some more children's books?
Yeah, I got a few more in the drawer.
In the drawer. That's the book. Put it in the drawer. Pull it out of the drawer. I love it. Carmen, thank you.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Here's what I love, and it's what we just discussed on this segment for all of you listening. And we know how tough death is to tackle, and death and kids and explaining death and whatnot, religious backgrounds, not religious, etc., whatever. It's really, talking to children about death, I think, is really, really tough. And then learning how to handle grief. I mean, this is personal. And for me, I understand completely because I lost my father right around when I turned 8. And I didn't really understand. I mean, we didn't really understand. And especially the thought was, well, hey, we're going to be fine. Everything's great. God, you know, dad's in heaven and you move forward and that's it. And there wasn't a lot of conversation. And there's like a, somehow you sort of, I think, not sort of, I think there's a miss in trying to cope with the loss and how you do that. And I like what I liked about Carmen's book and why it was part of the of Author's Corner and pulling it in is because explaining death, especially to younger children, she said it, simple. It's best to come up with simple terms, words, ways to describe it so that they don't shy away from the reality of death. And here's the fact, and this is what hits you, the permanence of it, because they're not going to see them anymore. And that becomes the, I think that becomes the thing. How do you deal with it, especially like when it's a parent, like I said, for me, what happened, and you just, you know, there was around me, thank goodness, there was lots of love, and there were people around us and family and all of that, and so you just were moving through it. But it was like swoosh, and then you're off. And I think it's very, very difficult, and being honest and figuring it out and explaining grief. I mean, I even remember, it's interesting, and I even remember seeing a Sesame Street episode about it, and where they talked about death. They talked about death and that feelings weren't too big or too little or whatnot. And you can imagine what it would be like, it made me think of this, with what we're going through in the world and in the country, the explanations there, right? Because of the pandemic. And so now the word, the people, more people dying or hearing statistics or whatever, and kids are smart. They pick up all this. They pick it all up. So I think she nails it and hits it head on when she talks about, I suppose, because even the title, right? I suppose the rose knew. I suppose the rose knew. So think about it. It's the story of a young girl. She's, as Carmen said, about 7 or 8. She's in a bed of roses. They're beautiful, right? She discovers one of them doesn't look so well. And then she is sad when she thinks the rose knows that it's not going to make it. And of all things, the analogy of how pretty roses are and how short-lived they are, to the frustration often of the people in the real world, right, who buy roses and give roses because of the symbolism of what roses mean, which, crazy enough, and I also said this in the beginning right before we went to Carmen, my favorite flower is a yellow rose. Right. I mean, I like red roses, but a yellow rose. And that's the thing with roses, and trying to grow roses, by the way, is frustrating. I actually have in my garden knockout roses. So the idea is you cannot, they're not going away. They're going to bloom. And they have. I've had them for, I guess, about 10 years. So they really, really work. So you can pick up the book. It's a great discussion for younger kids. It's a great book to give as a gift. I suppose the rose knew. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.